Peter chapter number 3 on Wednesday nights. In the last probably 6 to 8 months, we've gone through 1 Peter, and we skipped over a few messages, a few spots that I wanted to bring to the entire church, and this evening is one of those messages. We talked about wives a few weeks ago, and tonight we're going to look a little bit about giving honor unto the wife. We talked about the wife's responsibility a few weeks ago, and tonight we're going to be looking at giving honor unto the wife. And I know not everyone here is a husband, but I think it's important to understand. And you can see what's wrong with a lot of homes today, and you can see what's going on and the problems that are happening because people are trying to do things their own way. The best thing you can do is to go to the designer and the creator and who designed marriage and who designed the home and created the home. That was God. And here in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 7, just one verse. The wives had 6 verses, but here he only gives one verse. And what we're just going to simply do tonight is kind of walk through this verse, break it apart by different phrases, and just hopefully be a help there. There's a couple things I think can be a help to. Number one, obviously the husbands in the room, you know, the responsibility they have, how they're supposed to treat their wives. Secondly, I think it'd be a help to wives in the room too. You know, it's also being willing to allow the husband do his role, and also to the young ladies and young men in the room. I tell you, it can be a big encouragement. You do not want to be married to the wrong person. The Bible tells you that. So whether you're a girl or a boy in the room, you do not want to be married to the wrong person. That's for sure. And to those that are in the room that are not married, I encourage you to be praying. I think God can teach us things that how these are different than the rest of the culture and how what God designs. If we will just plug in to where God tells us to be and what God tells us to do, it will make a difference in this world. Let's look here in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 7. It says, likewise, ye husbands. We're going to look at that in a second, but there's a reminder there. They're supposed to be likewise. It says, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So we have a group of different phrases here. We're going to take one phrase at a time. But I want us to understand that the right kind of wife and the right kind of mother in a home is really beyond price. It's priceless. Having the right type of wife and the right type of mother is something that the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And if God commends her in such a way, that we should do the same. And husbands, we're not supposed to wait. And remember, we looked at verse number 1. It talked about the wife submitting to the husband, talked about obeying the husband and the different things like that. Husbands, we're not supposed to wait for our wives to submit to us. And then we turn around and say, okay, they're doing what they're supposed to do. Now I'm going to start loving them the way that I'm supposed to. That's not how it's supposed to work. We learn in the book of Ephesians, it says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I tell you, if it depended upon my submission to God about the way that God was going to love me, I'd be in trouble. If God was going to wait for me to submit to him before he was ever going to truly start loving me, there'd be a problem there. And there'd probably be a problem in a lot of our lives when it comes to that. So husbands, remember, we're not just supposed to wait for the wife to do their role. Wives, you're not supposed to wait till the husband does a role. Remember, we are doing this to the Lord. It does help when the husband is doing what they're supposed to do, and it helps when the wife is supposed to doing what they're supposed to do. But there is some phrases in here that a lot of people in this culture today have some trouble with. So let's start off here. And like I said, we're going to take one phrase at a time and just kind of walk through this passage of scripture. And I think it could be a help to you. I've been thinking about it all week long. I actually been thinking about it for a couple months. And I guess it could be best for us just to take and see what the Bible says and just one step at a time. First thing, likewise, ye husbands. So what does that mean? Well, it's in comparison. Obviously, when it says, likewise, your husband, what is it supposed to be like? Well, look what it says in verse number 1. Likewise, ye wives. So where is the example? Where is it that they're saying we're supposed to act like that? Well, go up to chapter number 2 and look at verse number 21. Chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, for even here unto we were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. It's the idea that Christ came and gave of himself, And he left us an example. Now, once again, Christ did not just come to leave us an example. He came to bleed and to die for our sins so we could have eternal life. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're a Christian, Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sin debt. But he also left us an example. I think it's not only talking about that, but also take your Bible, look in chapter 2, verse number 9. Chapter 2, verse number 9, the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." So I think what they're saying here, when they use the word "likewise, ye husbands," they're saying, look, follow the example of Jesus Christ. He is submitted to God. And we looked at that as an example about the wives submitting unto the husband, how Jesus submitted to God, did not make him any less God, does not make the wife any less important. But here that the husband here, he is supposed to be likewise. He has a certain role. He has a certain responsibility. And the wife has one. And Jesus Christ had a responsibility. And verse number 9, it talks about how we can show forth the praises of him. You know what? If we're acting like everyone else, we're not going to be showing forth his praises. We're going to be just like everyone else. But when we grab a hold of what the Bible says, like in this passage of Scripture, and we do what the Word of God says, and we reflect the light of God in our hearts and reflect the light of God in our marriages, you know what's going to happen? It's going to show forth the praises of God. You're going to have other people that are looking at the marriages and saying, how in the world do they have that type of marriage? And what we do is we give praise and honor and glory to God because of the fact that our marriages are godly in the way God expected us. But the problem is, many Christians today, they don't have good marriages. The divorce rate is pretty much very close to the same between a person who is unsaved and a person who claims to be a Christian. That's just not the way it's supposed to be. And I'm burdened for our families, but it begins with us that are husbands. So when it says, likewise, ye husbands, let's remember that he is referring back to Jesus Christ's example, referring to the fact that we should be showing forth praises. And when we talk about the wives' things, we went through all those things in chapter number 2 about submitting ourselves to every ordinance and submitting to those who have the rule over us and how to love the brotherhood and honor the king. And, you know, God asked us to do some really, really hard things. And then in chapter number 3, he comes and says, likewise, ye wives, you got a tough job here. And he comes in verse number 7, likewise, ye husbands. You got something here that you need to do. It's different than the rest of the world. Remember, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a peculiar people. This is how I want you to treat your wife. So we see first, likewise, ye husbands. Secondly, dwell with them. Dwell with them. I mean, that seems pretty simple, doesn't it? You're supposed to live in the same house as they do. I mean, it's more than that. It's dwelling with them. I think it's referring to the fact that you're supposed to be close with them. You're supposed to be tight-knit, in a sense. I've seen marriages where husbands and wives, yes, they occupy the same house. They're technically, legally married, but they're not part of one another's lives. They just play a role, but they do not have a close-knit relationship. They're not really dwelling together. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:9, live joyfully with the wife with whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he have given thee under the sun. We got to understand that husbands make a decision to live with their wives and to do it in peace. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of thy vanity. Now, people can dwell together in the same house and be apart. The Bible even speaks about that. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:24, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. I mean, some people laugh at that, but some men have come to me and says, this is what my marriage is like. I'd rather go sit up in the roof and be in the corner away from my wife, not having to listen to my wife, than to spend time with her. See, that's not what the Bible's saying here. The Bible is saying that we need to, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. You need to be close with them. You need to be there with them. It's not just occupying the same residence. There's more to your marriage than that. There's some more that you're supposed to give. And don't make the excuse that your wife becomes a brawling woman and that's what you want to do is go stand up on the roof. Because that's what the Bible says there. But you're supposed to dwell with them. Now, you get the next phrase, according to knowledge. According to knowledge. There's some things that we need to do when we're going to dwell with somebody. There's some things that we need to be prepared for. I know when I'm going to go spend the week at camp with certain teenagers, and we won't use the example of those guys back there or the girls that are here, but when I'm going to go away with, we'll use the example of the teenagers when I was a youth pastor, and we were going to go to camp, there's certain things that we would bring because I would dwell with them according to knowledge. Maybe the first year when I went to camp, I did not know much about them. The next year, I knew that some of them, we needed to bring earplugs maybe because they snored so much. Maybe we need to bring some deodorizers and some fragrance spray because after running and sweating all day, and for some reason, they don't think they should have to take showers after doing that. You know, there's things that you learn about certain people you live with, and you dwell with them according to knowledge. You understand, here's my job. Remember, I look at our homes, and I look at our families as our first ministry. It is our first ministry. If you will look at your husband, look at your wife, or look at your children, you look at your parents, and you say, hey, my first ministry is to minister unto those that are in my home. Obviously, it's love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength. I know that. But he gives us our first ministry. He says, now look at the people you live with. Now, minister unto them. Now, if we're here and we see people that have a need, we're right there. We minister to them. If we have a Sunday school class and we see somebody who has a need, we're right there. We want to help them. When we have our senior luncheons, the young people, they're supposed to help. No one requires them to. No one pays them to. They try to help serve. And I know some of the adults do too, and that's great. And when there's a need, hopefully the people see it and they just go right to it and they minister to it. Now, the people you live with, we need to dwell with them according to knowledge. We need to know what their needs are and we need to minister to them. We need to understand them. I think when it's talking about dwelling with knowledge, it has this idea that we need to know our wives' likes and dislikes. Believe me, no two women are alike. And believe me, men and women think differently. Men and women they say different sides of the brain, but men and women, they have different ways of handling concept, many times taking information, of responding to information. Sometimes I hear a man say something in one sentence that's very short and only a few words, and a lady can say the same thing in a paragraph or two paragraphs or three paragraphs, and they're saying the exact same thing, and they're trying to they're conveying both the same message. We need to dwell with them according to knowledge. We need to understand that they're different than we are. And if we're going to live with them, we need to understand and respect them and be willing to work to be a minister to them. We should become a student of our wife that God has given us. We should know what their favorite color is. We should know the things that they like and do not like. We are commanded to dwell with them according to knowledge. Some men say, hey, I'm too busy. I have a job to take care of. I have all these other things that I have to care for. But what really starts is inside our home. And it starts with dwelling with them according to knowledge. Know her deep fears. Know her cares. Know her disappointments, her expectation. Know her scars. Know her secrets. Be sensitive and be willing to listen and be involved in her needs and talk with her. This is what the Bible is saying when we dwell with them according to knowledge. It's someone just co-inhabiting a house does not do that. It's understanding who they are and dwelling with them according to knowledge, realizing that they are different. God has designed them to be different. And if we're going to be a husband doing our job, we're going to live with them, yes. We're going to be close with them, and we're going to base this off of the knowledge that we have about them. You think about the next one, giving honor unto the wife. Giving honor unto the wife. Now, what does God mean by honor here? I think he means we treat our wives special. I think it starts where we come from a spot of cherishing our wife, and then you begin to go from there. You see your wife, you think she is a treasure, you think that she is something special. Among all these things, we realize that she is a treasure from God that I need to make sure I take care of. We need to look at her as the greatest treasure that God's given us in our lives, in our hearts, besides our relationship with him. And I've seen it. I've been to some people's houses, and I've seen some of the cool toys that a man can have. Maybe it's a car, you know, that they're really proud of. And I've been to people's houses, and they've restored cars, and they pull off the cover of the car, and you got this old car, and they said, man, you did all that work. And maybe to some people it's a gun. Maybe to some people it's something they built or a boat, or, you know, there are certain things that are prized possessions. Maybe it's a baseball card, or maybe it's a trophy. There are some things that we give honor to. There are some things that we put in a special spot and we cherish it and say, hey, that's something that I love and that's something I hold up to. That's something I want people to see, that I think highly of that. And that's what we're supposed to do with our wives. We're supposed to be giving honor unto them. But it goes even a step farther. It says, as unto the weaker vessel. Now, I know sometimes that's not the most popular thing to talk about, but the truth of the matter is that God designed ladies as the weaker vessel. Now, this has nothing to do with intellect. This has nothing to do with value. This has to do with the physical being. Sickness can overcome a man, and there are some cases where the woman may be physically stronger than her husband, but when God deals with the female being, he refers to her as the weaker of the sexes. Because of this, men are not to ride roughshod over their wives. They're not supposed to be bossing them around and bullying them, ordering them around, letting them do the heavy work beyond their strength, and making unreasonable demands upon them. You think about the story about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, when he hurried his wife to the kitchen, remember when the angels came and Jesus came, he told his wife to do what? He says, now you go bake some bread. And what did he do? He went out. He found the animals, and he got the goat ready, or the animal ready. He prepared it, had it prepared, and then he brought that back while Sarah was doing something else too. What does that have to do with anything? Well, you see, Abraham didn't expect Sarah to do it all. Abraham didn't say, hey, look, you go do this. I'm going to sit here and do this until you're ready to come back. It's a helping of them. It's an understanding that we should not expect them to carry the weight and physical labor as that we do. He hurries himself back from their living quarters to wait upon the table to be considerate of his wife. And I think God blesses that when we're considerate of those that we live with. When we dwell with them according to knowledge, and when we do not expect them to do more than God has designed them to do. Now, let's take a little side note here, because we're picking on the men or encouraging the men tonight. Ladies, you have to allow your husbands to do that too. Sometimes women think that, especially in the day and time, they're tough and they're rough and I can do it. I can do whatever a man can do. That's not what God designed you to do. Your bodies are not made to be that way. And if you can't allow your husband to give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, you're taking the blessing that God has provided for them to be able to treat you like that. And you're saying, I'm not going to let my husband do that. You say, well, I would never do that. I've seen it before. I've seen it that, you know, I'm just, you know what? Allow the husband to take his role. That's what you pray for. That's what you ask for. That's what you seek for. And husbands, allow your wife to have their roles too. Let's look at the next part of the verse. It says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Now, I like it when it says here, heirs together. You know what that means? I think it means that we're partners. We are heirs together. We must learn to work together. They have something more than a marriage that binds them. They have something more than a marriage of a preacher that's here, and they make a public profession of their love for one another before the preacher, before God, and before their friends. But they have something that's there together, and that is they are heirs together of the grace of life. They're Christians. They have the center of Jesus Christ. God is supposed to be the center of their lives. And they have Christ, and they're heirs together of God's gracious gift of eternal, everlasting life. They are true yoke fellows together. They have been established as a Christian home to bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to provide a measure of stability to the community, to be the moral and spiritual backbone of a nation, to win people to Christ. They work together to accomplish what God allows them to with the grace of life. I mentioned this morning that our church, I think, together works together as a team. We're supposed to work together as a team. We have a common interest of Jesus Christ. He is what brings us all together. We come from different parts of the state. We might come from different parts of the world. We come from different states. But we have one common thing that is our interest. You know, some of us like certain things. Some of us could care less about certain things. But Jesus Christ is that common thing that brings us together, that we worship together. And then when we should work together as a team to help make a difference in this world. And we're not just here to coexist. We're here to help win people to Christ. We're here to bring God's honor and glory to God. And in our homes, we are heirs together. We're partners. It's not, okay, you do your stuff over here, I'm going to do my stuff over here, and we won't worry about one another. And once again, obviously there's different responsibilities and different things that we work together with, but as a partnering together, working together of the grace of life. The Lord said, God said, in Genesis 2:18, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. That he's saying that the wife is not somebody that needs to be walked over, not someone who needs to be treated badly. Instead, God designed the wife to be your helpmeet, to work together with them. And I know we're talking about the wives and their roles earlier. And men, this is the point, is that God has given that helpmeet to you. And he says, treat it as you would treat your own flesh. Love her that way. Treat her that way. And this next phrase, and I think it's an interesting spot, it says, that your prayers be not hindered. I don't know about you, but that's one thing I do not want. I don't want my prayers to be hindered. God has put such a priority on this, and God says, this is so important. He doesn't say this about the wives. He brings this home and wraps it all together, and he says so much in this one verse. He says, that your prayers be not hindered. And I guess what it's saying here is if we don't learn how to dwell with them according to knowledge and giving honor unto them as unto the weaker vessel, as heirs together of the grace of the life, you know what? Then our prayers are going to be hindered. We need to realize the importance of treating our wives the right way, because not only is it what we're supposed to do, but God's saying that He is going to hinder our prayers. And I like to think about this word hindered for a second. In the Greek, it's the word enkopt. It is used to describe the impending of someone by breaking up the road. It's used by detaining a person unnecessarily. So let's imagine this in our minds, that we're traveling down a road, and we'll use, since Elizabeth City likes to have hurricanes sometimes, we get to a certain spot in a road. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but you get to a certain spot and the water is so deep, you don't know how deep it is. You can't go any farther. Something has happened to that road. That road has been broken up in a sense. No longer do you have clear passageway. You have to stop. You can no longer go any farther. That's what he's saying here about our prayers. If we will not treat our wives the way that he says it, that it will hinder our prayers. Paul used this word when he was writing to the Romans, and he explained to it why he had not come to visit them. He says there was something that was hindering him. He talked to the church of Thessalonica, and he said that Satan had hindered him more than once in their efforts to return to the city. He used this exact same word, is that there was something that was breaking up the road. There was something that was keeping him back unnecessarily, detaining a person unnecessarily, and he was saying that he was being hindered. This is the same word that he used. You did run well, and to the Galatians when he was rebuking them, he says, you did run well. Who did hinder you? He's saying, look, you were taking off in your Christian life. You were living for God, and there was something that stopped you. Who broke up that road to where you would not go any farther? Who stopped you from being able to continue on? And when we come to this spot in this moment in time, and when it says our families are so important and our roles as husbands are so important, not just fathers, as husbands to our wives, he says, look, this is so important. You're going to have to go and get this right before your prayer life is going to be what it should be. You know what? Husbands and wives are fighting like cats and dogs. What type of family altar is that? Do they have? How much do they really pray together? I mean, because husbands and wives should pray together, but when the wife's not doing what the husband's supposed to do, and when the husband's not doing what the wife's supposed to treat, they're not treating each other right, Satan seizes this opportunity. He takes his opportunity. He throws up the roadblocks. He obstructs our prayers and from getting through. And remember, we're engaged in a spiritual warfare. Every area of our life needs to be right on, settled on, so we do not have our prayers hindered. But you don't see that phrase very often. He's bringing the importance and bringing it full circle, how important this is. He isn't just saying, throwing out some things, do this, husbands, and do that, you know, dwell with them, make sure you're close with them, you know, according to knowledge, make sure you understand they're a woman, they're not going to think the way you do. Make sure you give them honor, treat them right, treat them, remember that they're not made like you are, you need to treat them. He doesn't just throw all these things out. He wraps it all together and he says, I'm not going to hear you. Your prayers are going to be hindered until you get this right. There is various reasons, of course, why our prayers sometimes are not answered. But many times we do not have to go past our living room or our bedroom or outside our own front window so we can figure out why our prayers are not being answered. The next few weeks leading up to our friend days, we're going to be talking about believing to see on Sunday mornings. But the next weeks leading up to our Bible conference, we're going to talk about our prayer life. Because I think that's something that's so desperate and so much missing in so many Christians' lives today. We need to make sure our prayers are not hindered. We need to hear from God. God wants to hear from us. We need God to hear our prayers. We need to hear God to hear our desires and our longings, our most intimate. We need Him to hear us. We don't need anything to be hindering those prayers. So husbands, how about it? We read this verse, and I tell you, it's convicting to me. Likewise, ye husbands, what is it like? You see Christ's supreme example back in chapter 2, verse 21. He says, this is your chance here. Christ gave His life. He shed His blood. Now, this is your ministry to your family and to your house here. Now, dwell with them according to knowledge. Don't just think there's somebody else that lives in, as a roommate. No. You dwell with them, you're close with them, and you realize who they are, what they love, and you study them, and you dwell with them in a way that helps them to feel honored. Help them to realize that they do not have to try to accomplish what the world says they need to accomplish, but instead you're going to treat them and give them honor as unto the weaker vessel and say, I want to cherish you, and I want to cherish your role. Yes, the mother and the wife does so much, and they work so hard. I get all that. Already, then that's biblical. You go to Proverbs 31, you see a woman there who was working, and she had strength, working with her hands. I get all that, but the husband is supposed to treat them with that way, with honor as unto the weaker vessel. And then you see each other as a partner. You join heir together. An heir together of the grace of life. You're both believers. You're supposed to be working together for the cause of Jesus Christ. This is so important, he says. If you don't do this, your prayers are going to be hindered. I tell you, as I was looking at it, especially this week and praying about it, there's many things that came to my mind and my thought process. But I want to be a better husband. I know some people say, well, you got the great family. Everything's perfect. Everything. No, I want to strive to be more. I want to grab a hold of the promise that God has. And I want to say, okay, God, this does not always make sense to me. God, this is not always easy to do. God, I don't even know how I'm supposed to do this sometimes. But I'm going to believe to see the goodness of God in this because He is the designer of marriage. He is the one who began it. And I'm going to grab a hold of that promise and say, God, I'm going to leave it up to you to work out my problems. Wives, same thing. We preached 2 weeks ago. We talk a lot about submitting to our husbands to talk about those different roles. Did it really hit home? Is it something that we took with us? Is it something that we actually helped make a change? Young people, you do not want to be married to the wrong person. I look around the room. We don't have a lot of young people that are here tonight, but you don't want to be married to the wrong person. Get close to God and let God help bring that person in your life. You don't have to go out looking for them. You don't have to go out, especially at your age. There is no reason for a 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, I think even 18-year-olds to be getting serious. If you're not going to plan on marrying somebody within the next couple years or at that point, there's no reason to get involved with other young people in that idea. You know, marriage is such an important thing, and we need to make sure that we understand what true marriage is supposed to be and what a husband and wife are supposed to treat each other like. And be careful with it because we don't want to be married to the wrong person. And I've seen lots of people who said, I guess I married the wrong person. But I'm going to stay with him because that's what God wants me to do. We should have learned the truth back then so we don't have to go through that today.
live for the Lord.
And the Bible says that we are supposed to give honor unto our wives, cherish our wife. How many of us really look at her as a treasure? Let's ask God to help us with that. Sometimes it's hard. I don't know about you. Sometimes I don't always get along with my wife. I think the same case is with you too and your homes too. Sometimes it's hard to treasure and look at it as a peculiar treasure, even though she is the most precious thing in my life. But you know what? We had to ask God to help us with that. We had to ask God. And she is a wonderful wife. And she is easy to cherish and to love. But at the same time, we need God's help with this. And gentlemen, I think it's a good time and good place to ask God for help. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet for a time of invitation. Heads bowed and eyes closed.